I don't have a title this morning. I don't even know if I'm going to use these scriptures like I wrote down. I told Scotty last night, it's like, this is getting more and more like God just says, trust me. Do you know how hard that is? I got to get up here in 30 minutes and tell y'all a 45 minute of whatever, and you are a blank slate. And all y'all already know, all y'all going to be looking at me just like you are. Waiting, right? But the thing about it is, the further that we go with God, the more we have to learn to trust Him. It's not easy on the flesh. It makes you feel stupid sometimes. See, I'm supposed to get up here and have what I'm supposed to say or whatever. Well, I only have what He gives me. But you know, I've been thinking about some things, and some things has been on my heart this week. God's been talking to me about some stuff, so that's just what we're going to go with. And some of them's a little bit hard, maybe. But I told the Lord, I said, God, help me to learn to say hard things with grace, and that it minister grace to the hearers, God, and not any kind of condemnation, because God never condemns us. He convicts us, but He never condemns us. I guess we will read this one this morning. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 1. See, y'all remember last week when we was talking about having God in here and what that means to everybody? And to everybody, it may mean a different thing. There is no wrong answers. For me, one would be His presence. That we walk through those doors, and as soon as we walk through those doors, it's like, wow, God. Just the peace of God for people that have been in turmoil. You know what I'm saying? For Johnny, I remember you say that He would reveal Himself. Well, that's part of it, you know. Sandy saying that He would show up and He would show out, you know. We've asked a lot of stuff, right? That's a lot of things to ask. Well, it's kind of like God is going to give us the answers today of how to get it. Not that we earn it. You cannot earn anything that God has. It's all by His grace. But how many know, kind of like John the Baptist said, he said, I must decrease that He may increase, talking about Jesus. How many knows if you want more of God, this glass is full except for the drink that I took out of it. If there's going to be anything else put in that, guess what has to happen? Something else has to come out. Right? We're the same way. If we want more of God, then that means in here, that means we're going to have to want more of God out there. So let's look at some things here. I'm just going to read one verse here. See, I got that King James version. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, the fear of the Lord here, that word fear means reverence, right? Not that we're to be scared of God, because God says fear not. He doesn't want you fearing Him like you would fear other things, calamity or anything like that. That means reverence. That means respect. That means honor, right? I don't know, probably about 4 weeks ago now, God began to deal with me about, I started noticing people wearing hats in here. I don't have a problem with hats. I saw your hat this morning, Johnny. Very good. I don't see it now. But I started noticing. How many knows you can see something and never notice it? But when God puts His finger on something, it's like it'll stick out to you every time, every place where it's at. I never noticed how many yellow trucks was the color, almost the color of my truck until I bought one. Then I see them yellow canyons everywhere, right? Well, that's one of the things that started happening to me about, it's probably about 4 weeks ago now. I started noticing people wearing hats in the service, and it began to bother me really bad. And I thought, what is the deal with this? You know, what do I care? So I let that thing go for a while. Actually, 3 weeks. I actually let it go a little bit too long, I think. And it kept bothering me, and it kept bothering me. And I thought, why does this keep bothering me? And I thought, I got to make sure this is God and not me. Because how many knows, a lot of times when something starts bothering God, especially if you're in leadership of your home or leadership of a church or over something other, whatever begins to bother God will begin to bother you. But now you need to make the distinction. Is it bothering me personally? I have a personal preference. I don't like it or something like that. Or is this really bothering God? So this went on for about 3 weeks to the point to where I'm like, oh, gosh, I don't want to say nothing, God. I just don't. Let somebody else do it. So I told Scotty about it. I hoped he would do it. Well, he said he would, but he never done it. Why? God wasn't telling him. It's bothering me. He's not even noticing it. You know what I'm saying? So beware that when things are like that to you, it's because you're supposed to do something about it, or you're the one that's supposed to say something about it. So anyway, I let that go on about 3 weeks to make sure, you know, it's not just me, that it's God. And then I told some. I hadn't got to tell everybody yet. And I told one of them, I said, listen, I said, please don't wear your hat during service. I said, it's okay right now. I said, just not during service, please. That went away, and I've not been bothered since. Then I come this morning, I see Johnny with his hat on, you know, and I think, oh, God, I know what I got to say, Lord, and I don't want to say it. But do you see what I'm saying? Johnny doesn't have his hat on now. See, back years ago, or really not that long ago, but especially years ago, when a man would talk to a woman or something, they would take their hat off. At funerals, you take your hat off. Certain times, you take your hat off. Why? Because it was a sign of reverence. It was a sign of respect. It was a sign of honor. Should we honor and respect God any less when we come before Him? Do you realize in the Old Testament, the priest that was going to stand in the house of the Lord and minister to the people, they could not wear their regular clothes. They had what they called priestly garments, and they didn't take them home either. When they got done with them, they put them in a certain place that God had said. Why? Those are holy to the Lord. They honor the Lord. And if anybody went in there in any kind of dishonorable way or did not follow the instructions that God gave, they had a rope tied around their leg that had bells on it. And any time those bells quit ringing, they knew, drag them out. Why? They have dishonored and did not reverence God in some kind of way. Now, that's what I said. God doesn't want us to be scared of Him, but He does. There is nobody that we should honor and reverence and respect any more than God Himself. And so the hat deal began to bother me because it began to bother God. So even though I don't want to say anything, I've got to say something. So I don't care about you wearing your hats. I don't think God cares about you wearing your hats or anything like that, whether you're a man or a woman. Just not in service when you're coming before the Lord, because it's just a sign of honor. I told the kids, I don't know, maybe a month ago now or whatever. At one point, they was getting real good about manners. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Grandma, can I have some milk, please? You know, or something like that. Well, they started noticing that. They say, Grandma, can I have some milk? I say, yeah. I give them some milk, hand them the milk. They go about their way with their phone or whatever the case that they're doing. I say, hey, what you supposed to say? Oh, thank you. And I told them, I said, listen, I said, y'all was doing real good on your manners, but you're kind of letting down now. How many knows that we have a whole generation that a lot of them, they have no manners. They was not taught, a lot of them, manners. Do you understand that stuff comes from God? God says whenever we pray to make definite petition, definite request, how? With thanksgiving. Why? That's honor. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate it, God. Thank you, Lord, that you had mercy or you had grace. You gave me the thing that I asked you. How much more should we do it to God? We do it to people. What is it? It's just an honor, a respect, to say yes, ma'am, or no, ma'am, or no, thank you, or whatever the case might be, right? How many knows that people of God, children of God, should be more honorable than any other people on the planet? Now, there's things in His Word, just like He says here. I believe one of the things that if we're going to get everything we're asking for, God reveal Himself, the peace of God when we walk in the door, God show up and show out, or whatever that it is to you that you're believing God for in these services, then guess what we have to do? Tighten up. God comes where people honor Him, where people want Him. If I go to somebody's house and I'm sitting there and I have this feeling like they don't want me there, I make like a banana and I split real quick. Do you think God's going to come where He's not, it's just kind of nonchalant, God, we want you, you know, but really we don't. Not saying that we don't. I'm just saying. So we're going to have to honor Him more. And that's not just when we come together either. That's out here. We have to obey Him. Whatever He's dealing with you about. And this come up this week. One of the ways that you can know without just God just speaking to you that He's wanting you to change something or do something is it keeps coming up. I told y'all the story before about years ago how that just out of the blue seemed like every time we went through drive-thru or something like that, or we went to a restaurant and I would order, Scotty's order would come perfect. Mine was messed up every single time. And my flesh is, now Scotty's kind of like, once it hits the belly, it don't matter. But I'm like, my thing is, and it's one reason why I'm so fat, I want to taste it. I want to savor it. My mind tells me what I want and what it's going to taste like and how good it's going to be. And then when I don't get that, ah! This happened probably about 5 or 6 times before I got a clue. I'm a little slow sometimes, you know. And then I had this thought, well, quit letting it bother you. Just go on and eat whatever it is and it'll stop. How many knows when God does that, it's time for you to grow. See, we talk about how promotion comes from the Lord, and it's not only on your job. Do you understand? There's spiritual promotion. There's next levels, right? Guess what? If you're going to go to another level, what you got to do? Pass the test and overcome wherever you are right now. So now I've been having this thing for a while about driving. And I am one, and I don't know how I got this way, but anyway, I make myself think of Mac a little bit in this area, kind of like a I make a grocery list. I don't go to the grocery store and just ho-hum, you know, we're going to get this. I get what's on the list, and I get out of there, and I get back home as fast as I can. I don't know why. But anyway, now I've started, I don't even make a grocery list. I sit down with my phone, and I tell them what I want, and now they go get it for me, and I let them know when I'm going to be there and pick it up. So, on the road, you know, and I mean, this stuff's wild. And it's worse when Scotty's with me for some reason. They do all kinds of things to me out there on the road. The other day we was going down the road and this car flew around me and in between me and another car. Okay, you know, I didn't like it, but anyway, okay. We're going down through there and he decides he's going to go around the van that he's behind that was in front of me that he got in between us. He kicks it and starts around and a squirrel runs out in the middle of the road and the squirrel's going like this. The car stops in the middle of the road and we just go on past it. Then he speeds up and he goes back around all of us. And I'm like, are you kidding? Are you serious? Did you just say that? And Scotty's like, well, yeah, I'm sitting here. You know, and I'm like, I'm telling you, I cannot believe the things that these people do. Well, then another time we're up there in Arab. Y'all know where the Wawaho's at, right? Over there by Tractor Supply. Well, I'm turning in the stop sign there beside the Wawaho, and we're going down the road, and this white car, this guy, and he's not an old man. He's probably our age, I guess. He's coming across the parking lot, and we're coming down that road right there, and he looks straight in both of our eyeballs and comes right in front of us slowly out into the road. I got to stop. Like this is some kind of right-of-way or something or another. And just stares us in our eyeballs until he gets by. I said, are you kidding me? What is wrong with you? Y'all real quiet. That's okay. We'll talk about me. Well, I mean, just crazy stuff like that all the time. Especially, like I said, it's worse if Scotty's with me. To the point to where I don't even want to get on the road. I don't want to go nowhere. So now I've got my stuff. I'm on my way. And God forbid anybody get in the way. Anybody do anything they should not do. Drive like you're supposed to. How many knows? Everybody don't do what they're supposed to. So God began to deal with me this week. And he said, I need you to be more patient while you're driving. He said, I want you to slow down. Now, usually, and I hate to get behind somebody that's going 40 if it's a 55. I want to go the maximum of my speed limit. It's a law. I can go 55. Why are y'all laughing? Y'all don't think that same thing? I'm thinking, okay. And sometimes I go 60. I really do. I'm just going to tell the truth. See, I'm not going to change them people on that road. I'm not going to make them drive right. I'm not going to make them drive the speed limit. I'm not going to make them slow down. I'm not going to make them speed up. So the only one that I can change is me. So I said, okay, God. And I thought, God, this is going to be hard. In my mind, I'm thinking it's going to be hard. I'm telling you, these people, they get on my last ever loving nerve. But okay, God, I know that's what you want. Because it just keeps happening, happening, and happening. So here we go, Monday morning. Monday is my on the road almost over half of the day or whatever. So here we go, Monday morning, you know. And I've purposed in my heart, okay, God, this is not going to get to me no matter what. I'm going to be flexible. I'm going to love people. Everything with God is about the heart and people. And when you like that, you're getting out of love. So you're breaking the first command. So don't even consider faith and all that stuff, right? Faith works by love. So I get out there on the road, and stuff starts happening and everything, and I started to say something. I even say it when I'm by myself. Are you serious? I can't believe you just did that. And I have just the things right up in the window so they make sure they see me or whatever, but not in a while. Anyway, so I start to say something. Something happened, I start to say something, and I caught myself, and I'm like, nope, don't make no difference to me. They drive however they drive. I'm making sure I'm staying the speed limit. I'm not going that 5 mile and over. I'm not in a hurry. Slow down. You got to calm yourself down if you're going to stay in the peace of God. You can't just be in a frenzy all the time, and you can't let every little thing just get you overwhelmed or get you off your game or whatever. I have enjoyed driving this week more than I have enjoyed it in a long time. And didn't nobody change that I can tell. But I changed. And listen to me, when God deals with you about something, be quick to do it because His grace is right there to help you overcome. Do you understand that? And with His grace, there's nothing you can't do that He told you to do. And so because I yielded to that, I have had one of the most peaceful weeks of driving on the road that I have had in a long time. Now see, for me, God's telling me, if you want me of in here, if you want my presence like what you're asking for in here, then I need more fruit out of you out here. He's saying the same thing to this entire body. Because one of us can't go in here where all of us don't go out there. And for different people, it's different things. For you, it may be some kind of habit. It may be overeating or whatever. It may be you're driving. But how many knows, in that, God's working the love of God in through me deeper. I have the love of God already, and I walk in it to a degree. But how many knows, you never get to the end. Just when you think, I'm doing pretty good now. I've overcome that. God, we on track right here. God says, okay, let me show you just a little bit more. And then you go and you work on that, and you and God, you get it together and everything. And He lets you be okay for a little while. And then He's going to say, here's a little bit more. Why? You can't take it all at one time. And He'll tell you step by step by step that He wants you to do. So for me this week, in other words, it was the driving thing. Why? We're going to work out my fruit. All y'all know about lifting weights, right? I mean, whether you've lifted them or not, surely you've seen them. They call them dumbbells or barbells or whatever. Well, if you're going to gain more muscle, what you got to do? Use more reps or get more weight. That's the only two ways you can do it. Now, when you get born again, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, according to Galatians 5:22 through 24. Right? The Bible says, according to Romans 5:5, the love of God has been shed abroad or poured out in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, right? We already have it, that same Spirit and all of that. Well, guess what? It's an infant seed stage. Now, how are we going to get it to where it's massive faith? Like a grain of mustard seed when it's planted, it does what? It grows into a tree greater than all the other herbs, and the fowls of the air, they come and nest it. How do you get it that big? Just by praying, exercising. So what is that on the road I'm doing? I'm exercising. He's working out my love. He's working out my patience. He's working out my peace. He's working out my joy. So you may think that's a little bitty thing there, but I can see every fruit of the Spirit is having to be exercised when I'm on that road of what He's talking about. And so if I want Him to come in here, like what I told y'all, the way I want Him to come and manifest His, and listen, God wants to. But if we don't reverence Him, if we don't honor Him, if we don't reverence and honor Him and obey Him out there, He doesn't show up in here like our hearts are desiring for Him to. Amen? Let's see what another scripture I got wrote down, if we're going to use it or not. Yeah, 1 Samuel 2:30, Amplified Version, please. Best done got it up, so I'll just read it from there if I can see it. I'm back here. He says, therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, says, now to back up a little bit what he's talking about here, he had promised to Eli and his sons that there would always be somebody in the priesthood from them. But if y'all remember the story about Eli, he let his sons run wild. And they was in the priestly office, right? And Eli was too. And he didn't deal with his sons. He let them just do whatever they wanted to. The people was coming and telling him, they're taking the sacrifices and the best portion and the portions they're not supposed to. They was having relations with certain people. Y'all get it, right? Well, anyway, all this is going on, and God had promised him, and God's changing his mind. And this is what he says here. Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I did promise that your house and that of your forefather Aaron should go in and out before me forever. But now the Lord says, be it far from me, notice, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now, to honor, over there, that scripture where it says, children, obey, honor your parents or whatever. You look that up, it means honor. It means treat them as precious. How many knows if you're going to honor God, he's got to be precious? The Bible talks about when you find the kingdom, when a man found the kingdom in the field or whatever, he went and sold everything that he had and he bought that field, right? Why? It was precious. It was more valuable to him than anything or anybody else on the planet. So he gave up everything to take that field. Do you understand it's the same way with us? You remember back when you got saved? I imagine it was probably the same for all of us. Oh, this is just wonderful. God is just so good. You don't know nothing and you don't care. It don't matter, but he's your everything. I've told y'all the story back when I was dating Scotty or whatever. I mean, we were underway numerous times, all different kinds of things, and it wasn't to be disobedient or anything. I felt like I have to be with him night and day. Just to suck his air is the best thing. So y'all wasn't like that when y'all met, was you? Well, he was. That's all that mattered to me. He was all I could think. I quit going to school. They come out there. They called Mom and told him I wasn't going to school because she didn't know I wasn't going to school. She done gone to work by the time I'll get on the bus and everything. So I didn't go to school for a few days. Why? School, forget school. It's not as important as Scotty is. So they call Mom and let her know I'm not going to school, and then she wants to know why I'm not going to school. He went to Florida to take a job, you know, because we're going to get married and all this. So he went down there, had a brother down there. So he goes down there and gets a job, you know, and he writes me letters every day, you know, and he cries in the shower, all this stuff or whatever. Well, I would take a bath at night and I'd take a shower in the morning. I don't know, just anyway, you know, that teenage thing, you know. But anyway, and I had a picture of him, and I would tote that picture from the bedroom in the mornings before school, set it on the back of the toilet, and I would take my shower, and I'd get ready, and I'd get that picture, and I'd tote it back to the bedroom. Why am I telling you all this? Desire. Hunger. I was so hungry for him that he was everything. We got to be so hungry for God that he is everything. See, there's people, they used to make a way to go to church. What's happened to them? See, that desire will drive you where religion never can or will. Nobody made me love him like that. Nobody made me want to be with him like that. But that desire drove me. Do you understand that hunger and that desire for God will drive you? We've borrowed vehicles before to go to church because ours would tear up. And I ain't saying nothing about nobody. We're just, God's talking, okay? See, he says, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they're the ones that's going to be filled. Do you understand? When you hunger and you thirst for God, he cannot help himself. He will come and he will fill you. A church, you get a body that's hungry and thirsting, will make a way to do whatever they've got to do to assemble, to be with the brethren, to be in the presence of God in a corporate manner. God always shows up. But when you lose it, how do you lose it? Just let other things start taking its place. Oh, I would have had it done. You know why some people get a divorce? Just let somebody else start looking good to them. I'm telling you that, Scotty, and I'm just making a point. I'm not saying it so. I'm telling you that, Scotty, he used to take a bath every day. Now it's twice a week or once a week. Like I said, I'm just making a scenario. You can say Johnny or whoever's in here. Just let somebody else start looking good to you. Just start letting being alone. So the devil used to tell me when I get upset at Scotty, he said, I can do bad all by myself, so I don't need you. What's happening? That's going to start messing with your hunger. It's going to start messing with your desire. What happens? You start working extra hours at work, but you don't take no extra time with God. See, God knows we got to work, right? He knows. He says if a man don't work, he don't eat. God gives us the jobs that we have. And yes, sometimes you may have to work our extra hours or somebody else shift or something like that. But if that is the case, you're going to have to make up for God somewhere else. If you get 2 hours of sleep at night, you're going to have to take that time with God. Why? Because if you don't, you're going to lose your hunger and you're going to lose your desire for Him. And when you do, the Bible talks about be not drunk with wine, which is in excess, but what? Be filled with the Spirit. Well, you're getting drunk with wine, which is excess, so to speak, off the world. The Bible talks about being drunk off the world. You're not in your right mind. You don't got your right thinking. Your desires begin to be moved. See, God's not getting on to us, but we've asked a lot. I want it to where we walk in this place. I mean, there's a sign, there's a wonder, there's a miracle, there's a teaching, there's a song. Just like the Bible says, like they had in the book of Acts, 3,000 added. Do you understand? It's only going to be God and the presence of the Lord and the anointing that's going to draw people into this place. Jesus didn't have to advertise. The things, His life advertised before Him. That's how come the woman with the issue of blood, she had heard. He's a healer. And she said in her heart, if I can just touch Him, not Him touch me, but if I can just get out there and touch Him, I know I'll be made whole. And she did, and she was. But do you understand when we ask these things, God asks more of us? Because He can't do more than what we will let Him do. So I had a person the other day, something happened, you know, and they say, well, God could have stopped it or whatever. And I said, what's He supposed to do, make your car not run? See, it's real convenient for me to want God to intervene when I want Him to intervene. Stop what I feel like I want Him to stop. But what about when I want to drive 60 in a 55? Woo, y'all not saying nothing. What's He supposed to do? He ain't going to change the speed limit. Do you see where I'm going with this kind of thinking? Have to renew our mind. See, it's not God not wanting Him to pour Himself out. I believe that's why He's saying this to us this morning. Y'all want me to pour myself out? I want you to pour yourself out, and you be the revival. I believe God with all of His heart would like it if we was like so close, so full of Him that it was kind of like Peter. Y'all remember it wasn't Peter, but it was the proximity of being around Him. You get in His shadow, they would lay people out in the streets just so He would walk by, that His shadow might fall on them and they would be healed. Why? So much God in Him. But you know what? Peter makes me think of us a lot, especially myself. He denied the Lord 3 times. He rebuked the Lord. But Peter finally got it together. And he got full of the Lord. He became obedient to the Lord. And then later on, he still got in trouble by the Apostle Paul, right? Because he acted one way whenever the Jews come or whatever, and another way whenever they wasn't around. So we never stop growing and developing. And there's always another level. And anytime we want another level with God, God says, I need another level with you. I need more fruit out of you. See, people, if we don't grow and we don't develop, these people that God's sending that's coming in here, I won't have enough love to do what I'm supposed to do. I won't have enough patience. Why? Some of these people, like I said, they don't got a lick of manners. Their kids don't got a lick of manners. They just hang from the ceilings, in other words, so to speak. You got to have the love of God in you to deal with that. You got to have the patience of God Himself. So what's that mean? I'm going to have to grow. I'm going to have to develop. Kind of like Joyce Meyer said, you know, I've been listening to her a lot this week, kind of draw to her this week, and some of her stories, and I'm like, gosh, that was me, gosh, that was me, gosh, that is me, help me, Jesus, you know, and a lot of our stories, they match up and everything, you know, and God had spoke to her about having a worldwide ministry, you know, and she's stuck there, she says, in her house, in her short shorts, blowing smoke up everybody's nose, you know, teaching the Bible, and she can't figure out God. You said I'm going to have a worldwide ministry. Why am I still just teaching this little Bible study in my house? As many people as you can help, that's the same amount you can hurt. And some people ain't ready for you yet. I'm not ready for some people yet, and they're not ready for me yet. But what happened? She grew. She developed. She obeyed, right? And to the point to where God was like, okay, you're there now. Get up. take your ministry to the north, south, east, and west. And here she went, and here she is, right? Worldwide ministry all over the place. People, she can't go nowhere hardly that people don't know her, even in other countries. And so however she is out there, people's watching. All the time, they're watching. Now, I know what she teaches and she preaches, but okay, let's see here at the coffee shop when they got her order wrong. Y'all understand what I'm saying? That's me and you too. That's me and you too. And so if we're going to have God the way that we've asked for him, and he's going to show up and he's going to do the things that we've asked him to, because I believe it's his desire in our hearts that makes us desire him to show up and work miracles and show out and all that other stuff, right? So it's not him that's holding back. He says he won't hold anything good back to those who what? Walk upright before him. That's not to everybody. And I'm not talking about us being perfect in the flesh out here. You understand? It's your heart. You may not know everything that you're doing wrong right now, but as long as your heart is perfect, right, maturing before him, wanting him and to do his will, he counts it as perfect. Amen? Let's see here. Now, I looked up some words here. Well, what was that last part of that? Notice he says, for those who honor me, he'll do what? What if you dishonor him? What if you think very little? Lightly esteemed means thinks very little. What if you think very little of him? You get very little of him, right? He even talks about that in the money. You know, he says, if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. Why? You get to the degree that you give. He says, if you will honor him, he will honor you. What is the greatest way he can honor you? Would be with himself, right? There's nothing greater that he has to give than himself. He is everything in all things, right? So he says, if we will honor him, he will honor us. He says, but those who despise, means lightly esteems, means think very little about him. Think very little about his stuff. Your stuff's more important. How you feel is more important than you doing what you're supposed to do, bearing fruit and growing and developing and all that. And he says, you'll be lightly esteemed. I don't want to be lightly esteemed. I want to be honored. I believe everybody in this house does. So what do? Make sure we're honoring him. And you know, even sometimes after you've been saved for a while, you can have these things down. And how many knows time and life and pressure and different stuff can get you caught up to where you're not honoring God like you might have been at one time. Or you're not reverencing him or hungering for him like you was at one time. How do you create hunger? Just a question. Y'all don't know? You ain't been fasting then, have you? What happens to you when you fast? Your belly gets hungry. I don't know about y'all. Mine does a couple hours. I could lose weight. I could go a day or two without eating if I'm trying to lose weight. Just let me think the night before I'm going to fast and I'm starving. So if I want to create hunger, cut things off. If you don't want a cat, don't feed it when it comes around. If you want one, ask them kids. If you want one, all you got to do is feed it. We've had a cat for a month now, and I think she's going to have some babies. Why? We fed her. And that is the eatingest cat I've ever seen in my life. She eats and eats and eats and eats, and I keep feeding her and feeding her and feeding her, and now rarely does she leave that back porch. So if you want to create a hunger for God, what you're going to have to do? Cut off those things that is sucking up time that is unnecessary. And begin to get on the things of him and the kingdom. If you read in your Bible, read more of your Bible. You know, you'll become hungry for whatever you do. It's just like this. You don't create a habit overnight. I mean, you don't create a habit of smoking cigarettes, smoking one or two cigarettes. What do you do? Day after day after day after day, till before you know it, now it's a habit, and it's there without you even thinking about it. Do you realize God and his things can become the same way? If we cut off of the things of the world that is not necessary, because there are necessary things we have to do. We have to go to work. We have to pay bills. We have to take care of our kids, right? But if we want to be hungrier for God, then that means we're going to have to cut off things. For me, I have to cut off some TV. Why? That's a pleasure that I enjoy. But if I want to get hungry for God, I got to cut off all these things that's filling me up. Gosh, y'all real quiet. let's see here. The word honor in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. When you look it up, the best way I can describe what it says is heavy. You'll hear Johnny sometimes he'll say, that message was heavy. What do you mean, Johnny? Weighty. The other word for that is weighty. That's what honor means. It's something to you. It means something. It's not just a nonchalant or whatever. The word lightly esteemed in that verse, 1 Samuel 2:30, it means something or someone means very little to you. How many knows God should not mean very little, and the things of his kingdom should not mean very little to us? Now, I've already quoted Matthew. That's Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, where he says, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. So if you hunger and you thirst, you will be filled, he says. You will be. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read this in the Amplified Bible. If you don't have one, Beth, put it on the screen. I pray this for this body, this church, almost every day. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to bring it because there's another thing that we're going to have to deal with. He says, I therefore, the prisoner for the Lord, appeal to and beg you to walk, lead a life worthy of the divine calling to which you have been called. Let me just read it to you the way that I pray it for us. I say, Holy Spirit, I ask you to help us to walk, to lead a life that's worthy of divine calling to which we have been called. Lord, that we would have behavior that is a credit to the summons of your service, Father. Help us, Holy Spirit, to live as becomes us with complete lowliness of mind, humility and meekness, unselfishness, gentleness, mildness, with patience, bearing with one another, Lord, and making allowances for one another, Father, because we truly love one another with the love of God. Because, God, according to your word, you said in John 13, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, because you have love one for another. I pray this, that love of God, we would yield to it in this house. And then I go on and say, help us, Lord, to be eager and strive earnestly to guard, notice this, and keep the harmony and oneness of that is produced by the Spirit and the binding power of peace. Let's just read this one here, too, before I go on and say what I'm going to say. Beth, put up, let me turn over here. Psalm 133, very familiar scripture. This will be in the Amplified Version. Verse 1. He says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment poured on the head that ran down on the beard, even the beard of Aaron, the first high priest, that came down upon the collar and skirts of his garments, consecrating the whole body. It is like the dew of lofty Mount Hermon and the dew that comes on the hills of Zion, which we know represents the church. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, even life forevermore, upon the high and the lowly. Something else that I felt like God wanted me to share this morning that he wants us to deal with, and that is anytime you're around people, we all have different personalities. We have different likes. You may like chocolate ice cream or vanilla ice cream. And somebody like Scotty likes that old yucky black walnut junk. But that's him. Hey, have it. Myself, I like chocolate or strawberry. My point in saying we all are different. God likes different, in case you ain't noticed. We're different colors, right? We have different eye color. We have different hair color. We have different preferences. We have different personalities. We have different ways of expressing ourselves. Johnny's a very quiet guy, or at least here. Mac, I don't think the man can be quiet anywhere he goes. Not nothing bad, just different. So when you get all of that and you put it all together and you got to work among and around and do things and interact with people, how many know sometimes people can rub you the wrong way? Not meaning to. Or anything like that, just because they're different. And you don't like they're different. So guess what? In a body like this here, he says, he commands the blessing on what? brethren dwelling together in unity. It's one of the things that we'll have to tighten up here on. If we want Him, like what we're asking for Him. We want His blessing that He commands. Because He doesn't command it on anything else. But for brethren to dwell together in unity. So that means if you've got something in your heart toward anybody that goes to church here, actually anybody anywhere, but especially in here, you're going to have to get rid of that. Well, they should tell me they're sorry. What's that got to do with you? You're the one holding up the unity. You're the one holding up the blessing. They may not even know they did anything to you. I mean, I have rubbed people the wrong way, left, right, back, forward, all that, and never even knew it. That's like when I was telling that, when we was up here Sunday, and I was telling that about telling them people, you know, y'all need a Bible for anybody that don't have a Bible. And a lady says, yeah, I need one. I said, you don't have one? And she said, well, I got two. And I said, well, you don't need one then. Some of y'all started laughing. And I thought, Lord, why are they laughing? I'm not trying to be funny. I didn't say that sarcastically. I said that from my heart. Because I'm thinking, you got two. Read the ones you got. These are for the people that don't have or whatever. But some of y'all started laughing. Why'd you start laughing? Because some of y'all thought I was saying that a certain way. But how He knows? God knows my heart, and I wasn't saying it a certain way. So we have to be in unity in this house. And it is the Spirit, the Bible says there in the scriptures we read there in Ephesians, it is the Spirit that produces that. Remember? Not by might. Not by power, but how? By His Spirit. It's His Spirit, us letting His Spirit dominate us in our flesh, in our thinking, that we overlook things that people do. Maybe they even did it on purpose. Just forgive them. Just move on. Don't let anything break that unity of the Spirit of peace. Amen? Because in case you ain't noticed, this world is in chaos. And people are hurting. People from storms. People from the economy. I mean, all kinds of things. People all over this planet are hurting. And people all over this planet, not everybody, but I mean, there's people in here that, I mean, they so need to experience the peace of God. That they absolutely have so much going on and so many problems that their mind is just burned up. Where are they supposed to get this stuff? They're supposed to be able to go to the church and find it, right? We're the only ones that's supposed to have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And I believe that we do. But God is saying, okay, I need more. I need you to develop that fruit of the Spirit. I need you to yield to me. Why? Because He's got a world that needs Him so much. And we are the ones that show Him. We are the ones that bring His presence. We are the ones that reveal how He is here in the earth, right? Because He's Spirit and He's in us, though. So what we have to do is yield to Him. Don't let anything in here bother you. Don't let anybody in here bother you. Just let it go. It don't matter. It don't matter. You can come on in. That's fine. It doesn't matter who it is, what it is, what they did, what they didn't do. Because just like on the road, I think a lot of people shouldn't drive the way they do. But the Holy Ghost told me you are not the Holy Ghost junior driver. It's hard to run the world, people. And if you're trying to run the world and whatever you what you think everybody should do and ain't gonna do and ought to do and all, you're trying to run the world. Just run you. Just run you. And you'll stay in the peace of God. And then when that peace of God, people get around you, I get around certain people, I feel calm. It's their presence. It's Him in them. I get around other people, and I'm talking about saved people. I get around some other people, and I feel a little friction. I feel a little turmoil. And I know it's not me. I know that it's them. Why? We are vessels that carry the Lord. We're vessels that carry the Spirit of the living God and the fruit of the Spirit. But God wants us. He says, I've given you a lot of word. I'm telling you right now by the Spirit, I know it. There is people that are hearing the sound of my voice right now in this room or out of this room. God is saying to you, I have fed you and fed you and fed you, kind of like that tree. You remember? He said He dug around. He come. The master came, going to dig that tree up. And the one that worked there, he said, I'm paraphrasing. He said, oh no, alas, my Lord. He said, let me dig around it. Let me fertilize it. Wait till next year. God's saying, your next year's here. Now get to doing with what you know. There's no reason any of us in this room should be lacking any kind of finances. We have had enough word about finances, enough word about faith and how to release your faith and how to have faith. But how many knows? You can have it. But you're going to do without if you don't release it. And it's not because God hadn't already given it. He said that he would supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory, which lacks nothing, and he's willing to give it any time we'll take it. And there's some people right now, they don't have because they ain't taking. And you're going to keep doing without. But it's hurting you, and it's hurting your rewards that you're going to get. Why? Because you got to have things to do certain things for certain people. Let's see here. We're already over our time a little bit. I think that's all I was supposed to say. Oh, and God is, he's not getting on to us, so don't take it that way. But like I said, we've asked him for a lot, and he wants to do it. But he said, I got to have more fruit out of you. I think Scotty did a message not too long ago. What was that title? More fruit, more power, or something like that? You remember? You don't remember your own title? No, I'm just kidding. It was something like that. But that's kind of like what God is saying to us. More fruit, more freedom, yeah. Well, mine is more fruit, more power. You want the power of God and the presence of God, then God needs more fruit. Amen? All right, we'll raise us to 11.